Do you sometimes feel that your partner is talking to you like you're a child? Or do you feel like you're a child sometimes in a relationship? Or do you find sometimes you talk to your partner like they're a child? If so, stay tuned to today's podcast because we're going to be talking about transactional analysis and how it can help you in your relationships. Hi, welcome to this week's podcast. My name's Tom Mackay.
And I'm Angela Dukes, and together we've created the Relationship Maze.
And today we're going to be talking about transactional analysis and how it can help you in your relationships.
Yeah, so transactional analysis offers some really helpful models that can be applied to romantic relationships. It really kind of looks at patterns of communication. So it can be applied to romantic relationships, but also to relationships in other contexts. For example, your interactions with your colleagues or your interaction with friends and other family members. And transactional analysis was developed by Eric Byrne. He was a Canadian psychoanalyst. He originally trained as a Freudian analyst and then developed this really helpful model, transactional analysis, which was particularly popular in the 60s and 70s. So he wrote this book, Games People Play. You've read it, Tom?
I have, yeah.
Yeah, it's a great book. It's actually quite a lot of fun to read, isn't it?
Yeah, no, a lot of it's hilarious the way that he says that. I mean, some of it's a little bit outdated when you read it, and some of the stereotypes, you know, are quite outdated, but still it's very amusing in the way that it's written.
And he offers one model that we're going to talk about a little bit today, which is the parent-adult-child model. Do you want to start with that, Tom, or shall I?
Well, yeah, and I think one of the important things, I think, with transactional analysis is even though the words transactional analysis sound quite technical, it's actually one of the simpler models in psychotherapy to understand. And I think it's something that, you know, because of that, it's been used, as Angus said, it's been used in lots of contexts. It's used in business contexts a lot, so it really can help with business, understanding business relationships. Yeah. And it's sort of, you know, we all experience this at times where, you know, maybe you've been in an argument with your partner or an argument with somebody at work. And sometimes in that argument, I don't know, maybe have you ever experienced, for example, that sometimes you feel like a child that's being told off? I mean, have you ever sort of experienced that, Angela?
Well, absolutely. And I know that I do it quite a lot to other people. I actually very often step into the role of telling off. So I often step into the role of being a parent.
Yeah, yeah, and absolutely. And it's those times where we suddenly experience like, well, you know, I feel like I'm, you're in that state of like the parent telling somebody off, but you're both adults.
Yes,
but,
absolutely.
Yeah, but suddenly we're in these different roles, or, you know, you feel like the child that's being scolded, or like the rebellious child, like, you know, at the workplace there's some sort of rule where, I mean, recently I heard how in France apparently it was illegal to eat lunch in at your desk.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I suppose an example of that would be the person who sneaks their food into work and kind of like secretly eats their food just because they want to rebel against that rule. That's like the child part, and and that's very much in terms of this model of transactional analysis. We could think of ourselves as having almost three different parts.
Yeah.
Which we can call ego states, which Byrne terms ego states.
Called it ego states, that's right, yes.
Yeah.
So at any given point, we have a part of our, we are in either of these three states. So we're either in a child ego state, we're in an adult ego state, or we're in a parental ego state. Now, do you want to talk a bit about the parent? What does the parent do?
Yeah,
parent,
well, actually, just before we get into that, I think also what's really important is to remember that we all have these three states, and they're also all really important. And what we want to do is find a balance between them. So it's not that we want to get rid of the child, it's not that we want to get rid of the parent, but we want to have good communication between them. So they work together in kind of synchronicity, or however you want to put it. But yeah, so the parent, so that parent part is essentially, it's an internalized parental part of us from our past. So maybe from our parents, but it could also be from other figures that we grow up with in life who took on that sort of parenting role, who maybe gave us, maybe criticized us, or maybe gave us advice, or gave these sort of moral codes. It's that sort of part where it's that sort of voice that says, well, you should be doing that, or you shouldn't do that. It's good to do this, it's good to do that.
Yeah, so the part that sets the rules as well. Yes, absolutely. Or don't do that. Don't cross the road, that kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. But also the part that is nurturing sometimes. So sometimes when we're feeling run down, it's that part that, you know, if we've ever been told, oh, it's okay, you can take the day off, or, you know, it's okay, you should just rest. It's that part that also looks after us. And sometimes, you know, when we have that internal voice that is nurturing, there's that other side of that parent.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So that's the parent part. Well, then there's the child part. The child is the sort of the older part, the sort of slightly more unregulated part of us, as it were. And the child can be the sort of slightly... the naughty child, the rebellious child. So if, you know, somebody tells us, don't do this, then we say, well, I'm going to do it anyway. Yeah, so it can be that kind of response. Or it could also be the part of us that is very compliant and says, yes, 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 I'll follow the rules. I won't be doing that. So the adapted child. Or it can also be, you know, the part of us that is creative, spontaneous, that wants fun, that wants a laugh. The kind of wild part of us, so to speak, as well. And the one that kind of pushes for things because it wants something. Yeah,
yeah, it can be highly creative. But what's really important with the child part is that it's like when we experience that now as an adult ourselves, I'm not talking about the adult part, but when we're kind of grown up, it's often that we feel ourselves almost back as we were years ago. So the child part is like a regressed part. And that can happen in times where we are feeling playful. So there are times where we're kind of playing and laughing, we feel, well, we're kind of laughing even more than we would normally because it's like we're back as a child. I mean, I experienced that. I don't know about yourself, but I experienced that when I see my old friends from school who, you know, maybe I haven't seen sometimes for years. And, you know, this was going back to even 20 years or whatever. But when we get together, it's like sometimes it's almost like we're back at school. It's like, you know, it's like no time has passed. We kind of regress into this sort of the humour that we had when we were, you know, sort of 15.
Yeah. Or when you get the giggles, you might know that when you're with a friend or with someone and you just cannot stop laughing. And everything somebody else says is really hilarious. It's just, you know, and you can't stop giggling. So that's a sort of moment as well where you're in this kind of child state. Yeah.
Yeah, and the other side of that, as Angela said, is, you know, suddenly when we start to overreact to things, and we might get overly emotional with things. And sometimes that's that child, that hurt child, and we're reacting more than we should maybe in that situation. So we get more upset by something than is warranted by the actual situation we're in, or we start to get kind of bolshy, and I don't know if everyone understands that word. I don't know if that word is in America. You know, I don't know if it's used in like America, so that means sort of you know, indignant and sort of, no, I'm not going to do that, just because, you know, we tend to react like that. And it's like the child that's refusing to go along with something, but even if we know it's okay, we just stubbornly refuse and dig our heels in.
Or it can be the needy child, the child that needs attention, needs some reassurance, that kind of response as well.
Yeah,
so that's a child state. So we talked about parent state, we talked about child state. Then in between, so you can kind of picture it, the way the model is usually shown in books, etc., is as a diagram. So you have a circle at the top as the parent, you've got a circle beneath, which is the adult, and we'll talk about that in a minute. And then at the bottom, we've got the child. So the adult kind of, the adult state sits in between the parental state and the child state. And the adult is the kind of mediator, so to speak. It's the reality principle. So it's the part of us, the more cognitive part of us, that does the thinking, that kind of assesses, that analyzes, that looks at a situation and decides what's the best way forward here. So what's the best response, for example, or what should be happening here in this particular situation? So it's the sort of part of us that, well, it's neither the parents nor the child. Sometimes there's sort of elements in there as well of parent or child, but it's the part of us that alleviates a little bit and balances between the two.
Yeah, and I think one thing that's really important with the adult is that it responds appropriately in the moment, and that's however it might be. So the adult can be spontaneous as well. It can have the emotions, so it can be emotional, but it responds appropriately in that situation. So it's not like, although we talk about it as being rational and kind of more thinking things through, it's not like Spock from Star Trek,
no.
where there's no, you know, the emotions no, are cut off, there's no. still emotions. So it can be spontaneous, but spontaneous in the now, in the moment, as opposed to the spontaneity of that child part of us.
In a more considered way, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So the adult is more considered generally.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so these are the parts of us that we all have within us, and at any given point in time, we are in one of these three states. So we're in a parent state, a parental state, we're in an adult state, or in a child state. So what when it gets really interesting with transactional analysis is that, of course, we don't exist in a bubble. We constantly interact with other people, and this is what Byrne was interested in. What happens in these interactions? What happens when somebody says something and somebody else responds? Yeah, what happens when there's a stimulus and a response? That's what he looked at. So what happens now when you have two adults, right, together, and one adult is mainly in a parental state and the other one is mainly in an adult state? Mainly in a child state. Actually, it's more interesting when one is in the parental state and the other one is coming from a child state. Sorry, that's what I was trying to look at. What happens there, Tom?
Yeah, so when one's in a parental state, one's in a child state, well, it could be, again, in an argument where one of us is experiencing the other person telling us off like we're a child, and we actually feel like the child. Mm-hmm. So, you know, one person might be saying, you never do this, you know, you should always do that, you know, you don't work hard enough, which I frequently hear. You know, sometimes I've heard even down at the shop, sometimes there's a couple and one person's talking to the other person like a child. And, you know, and sometimes as I go around the aisle, I'm thinking they must be talking to a child, but actually see it's their partner, which can be quite amazing that you really hear this. Mm-hmm. And the other person, if they respond as the child, then basically they'll probably kind of, they may get upset or they may just get passive. So they may just kind of go, okay, I'll just do that. Mm-hmm. Or they might rebel, say, look, I'm not going to do that. Or, you know,
I've already done enough.
Yeah, exactly.
That sort of thing. Yeah. Particularly in the domestic sphere, you get that a lot with domestic chores, that, you know, one partner would chase the other and say, well, you haven't done the hoovering yet, and well, all this washing is still lying around, and I've already told you 10 times you need to do that, and then the other partner responding accordingly, either by being rebellious or by actually doing what needs to be done, or by sulking. That's a very childlike response as well, a sulking state.
Yeah, and strangely though, sometimes it can work, because actually if someone talks to the other person as parent to child, but the other person responds child to parent, sometimes that's what Burma call a complementary transaction. But some of the problems come when there's cross-transaction. Yeah. So for example, if I'm speaking to somebody as an adult, and I'm speaking to them both as adults, so say for example, in a relationship I said, oh, did you take the bins out? And it's just a question, just a rational question. But if the other person interprets that in a different way, like I'm having a dig at them, then they might respond like the child to the parent. Like, so you're saying, but I never take the bins out.
Exactly.
So suddenly we have this cross-transaction. We're trying to have a conversation adult to adult, but the other person's communicating back child to parent, and we have this cross in a transaction, which can really cause problems. It can cause a lot of friction in our relationships.
Yeah, and the same happens frequently also when you have when a part of us is very very wounded, upset, sad, and needs some reassurance. So might go to the partner and want to have that reassurance from the partner, want to be looked after, so want to have a partner who steps into the parental state at that point in time. And when they then don't get that, when they get a response which is sort of quite dismissive, that's often where there are difficulties. So sometimes it's appropriate as a partner to respond as a parent, so to speak. Or you can respond as an adult, but don't respond as another child back, getting kind of cross with the other one.
Yeah, and if you are responding, and this is where it gets a bit complicated.
It gets very complicated at some point.
If a person's looking for that reassurance and you respond as the adult, you want to respond as an adult talking to the child, but not as an adult to the adult. Yeah. So, for example, you're saying like, oh, I've had a really tough day, I just want a hug, and you know, the adult saying, well, you know, really, I've been reading that hugs don't really make much difference into how you feel in this research. So if I'm saying this in a logical way, then we're going to have a problem in the response.
Absolutely. It just doesn't work. So the child needs to be addressed first.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So it does get a little bit complex and complicated, but really interesting, all these different kind of transactions that you can have between people and why they work and why they don't work. But what we want you to take away today really mainly is to kind of consider what state are you responding from, or what state are you communicating from when you're talking to your partner? Because that will give you a little bit of insight of what you might experience and what you need in that moment. And also, you know, it's an opportunity for the partner who listens to respond appropriately, to kind of listen, well, what is my partner communicating here? What state are they coming from? Do they need a little bit of attention here, a little bit of care of attention? And can I give that before we have a conversation which is more adult to adult, for example?
Yeah, and good questions to ask yourself is just notice and tune into how you're feeling at that moment. Mm. So in a conversation with your partner or at work or wherever it happens to be, notice, do you feel grounded in the moment? Do you feel able to kind of think quite clearly? Or do you feel yourself a little bit like, you know, back in a child state, or back when you were younger, it always feels like, you know, you're responding like the child? Or do you feel yourself in that more sort of moral stance, like the parent, the critical parent, or needing to reassure the other person, so the reassuring parent? So kind of tune into yourself and notice, actually, how do I feel right now?
And what is it that I need? Because it helps you to kind of identify what it is that you need from your partner, and you can ask for it then more clearly.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, notice how your partner's talking to you and the way they're talking to you. Try and stand back and objectively think, is it more the parent, the child, the adult that they're communicating from? Even things with their gestures and kind of a behaviour. So, you know, if they've got their hands on their hips and they're talking to you, well, that might be like the parent, whereas the child might be kind of like looking down a little bit, or kind of like hunched a little bit, or slumped, or, you know, or kind of just twiddling the hair just a bit like a kid might. That might give you some clues. I'm not saying they're always being that, but it could do. Whereas as the adult, being more kind of like just a listening, attentive, but kind of more objective way.
Yeah. So just to sort of wrap up this discussion about sort of parent, adult, shape, child state in relationships before we move on to also looking at what, you know, sort of single situations with singles. What would be an adult-to-adult response in this kind of domestic chore scenario? So I say to you, I noticed that the dishes haven't been done and the rubbish hasn't been taken out for ages. How could I respond in a way that would be adult-to-adult?
Yeah, well, first of all, I think it's first of all noticing that if the person is responding, if a person is saying this as an adult, they're not going to say, you know, oh, you haven't taken the rubbish out again, you never do that. It would be like you said it. So you know, just I'm just wondering, you know, we'd listen to that and just maybe say, oh, thanks for, you know, I hadn't realized that, I've just been really busy, I'll go and do that now, or I've just got to get on with this work at the moment and then I'll do it after that.
Absolutely.
And might so even recognize, maybe thinking, oh yeah, actually I realize, actually you've been doing that quite a lot recently, and I hadn't realised, let me do that after I've just finished up with what I'm doing. So it's fairly logical, it responds appropriately.
And calmly, exactly,
So yeah, so let's move on to, I think another interesting area is in terms of, like, with single people, but also in relationships, but how it ties in with attachment style. So in an earlier podcast, which you can find in our podcast list, we've talked about attachment styles, and I think we can see how in dating, the anxious attachment style may frequently have some common elements with the child.
It's this state that you're in when you're anxious that you need reassurance. So you cannot deal with uncertainty, which of course when you're in a dating scenario, there will always be an element of uncertainty. You don't know whether the other person really is as interested in you as you are in them. You don't know whether they are willing to build a relationship with you, whether they even want to go on a next date with you. So there might be this sort of child state that you're coming from, where you feel, well, I need to hear from the other person. I need to be reassured that they're interested in me. I need to be reassured that they really want to, you know, want to build something here with me. And it can become this kind of rather querulant, overbearing child sometimes, chasing the other person, saying, I need you to tell me that I'm okay here with you.
Yeah, and so, you know, the common thing is, for example, I know quite a few people who, they've been out on a date and they're quite anxious in their attachment style. Mm. And even half an hour afterwards, they're asking people, should I text them and say, did you enjoy the date, or would you like to go out again? And it's so soon afterwards. And that's often because they want that reassurance. It's like that child part that wants to be liked, wants to be loved, wants to know that they're okay, needs that reassurance. And it's more than... it's too intense for, like, from that, if it was the adult part, we'd be stepping back a little bit and thinking, well, yeah, that was good. I enjoyed that date, so I like the other person. I'll text them tomorrow, see if they want to go out again. Yeah. But there's no pressure.
Let's just see how this plays out, right? Exactly. Is this the right person, you know, for me? Are we getting on? Is this really working out for the two of us?
But
you might also step in this kind of dating scenario, you might also step into this parental role where you are becoming quite demanding. You ask for a date who has two MAs, one PhD, has to offer this particular height, sort of ticks all these sort of boxes, this idea of they should be performing like this, they should be successful, etc.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's like, at this age, they should be doing this and this. Yes. And basically, even if the other person seems really great to everybody else, if they don't tick those boxes to that person, it's like, well, no, they're a no-go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So slightly avoid imposition that creeps in there sometimes with this kind of parental position that some people might take.
And actually that brings us into another thing with avoidance, where I can also see how it might kind of, we can see that it connects with the attachments, we can see how the avoidance attachment style somehow connects with transactional analysis in terms of scripts. So, many avoidant people, they will have a sort of life script with relationships, and scripts is another element of transactional analysis that we really haven't got time to go into today because that gets quite complicated.
It's very complex.
We might do that another podcast.
Yeah, let's do another podcast.
But this might be where somebody is looking for the one, or they're looking for their soulmate, where there's only one soulmate in the world and they have to look for and find this one.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and so what happens is, and I've known several people like this in their lives, where they go on dates, they think they found someone who's really great. A few weeks later, a few days later, or a few months later, they think, no, they aren't the one. So then they try and find someone else. And again, it's this thing that actually is a story that avoids them getting too close to somebody, because they may have been hurt in the past and they know that if they get too close, they might get hurt again.
Yeah.
So it's better to kind of end it now and sooner rather than wait and get more pain later on. So this life script in terms of the one, or finding the soulmate, the one soulmate, is sometimes like this, almost like an excuse, like a script that avoids them having to get too close and giving them too much pain.
And it's a self-fulfilling prophecy then. It's self-sabotaging, isn't it? You just basically sabotage any relationship. And the script might also be coming from an anxious position in terms of, well, I will always get hurt, things will always end badly, nobody really loves me anyway, these kind of messages. We'll talk a lot, in a lot more detail actually, in the relationship maze on that, on how these scripts play out in your life, also more about parent, adult, child state, sorry, I lost my word there, sort of looking at the kind of messages that we take in and carry around with us all our lives, there's a real need to re-evaluate these messages, to look at these scripts that we create for ourselves and to see, well, do they actually serve us? Because we can be all of us can be our own authors. We can rewrite this script. It's not set, it's not something that we're being passed on and have to take on. We can actually have the power to write a different story.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to wrap this bit on sort of more single people, I think, in terms of an adult way of responding in dating is, well, from that adult ego state, we probably would date a few people, maybe not loads and loads, but maybe a handful of people that we think we'd get on with. And then we start to think about, well, who kind of matches some of the values that are important to us, who has some of the qualities that we think we'd actually connect with more deeply, who would be a good long-term partner if they want a long-term partner.
Absolutely.
So we start to think a little bit more logically, rationally. We've also emotion, it's not just logic,
it's totally being emotional as well, but it's being more balanced, I suppose that's the point, isn't it? It's kind of balancing different perspectives, looking at it from different angles and not just from this kind of highly emotive, uncontrollable state that we might be in when we're a child.
Yeah, and so just one thing I think, moving on to some things that you can have a think about how you could apply this in your life. Mm. We touched on this a little bit earlier, but in all of your interactions, whether you're with your partner or even whether you're dating, start to think about where you're operating from. What ego state? Are you in that that child mode, or in the parent mode? Are you in the adult mode? Mm. So notice again how you're feeling. Do you feel a bit like the child, you know, or do you feel like the critical parent, or do you feel like you're reacting appropriately in the moment? Start to notice where you feel that you're coming from.
And there's no right or wrong. It's not about that you always have to be in an adult, coming from an adult state. I mean, the adult state gives you more control, so to speak, over the situation. That's why it's important, yeah, because it's testing against reality, so to speak. But sometimes it's also all right to just have two children playing together. It's fine, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. But the times where maybe we're in an argument is where this might get more kind of exaggerated. Mm. And it's those times thinking like, where am I? Am I the parent? Am I the adult? Am I the child? And then maybe taking time afterwards and thinking, well, you know, if you felt like the child and became passive and just went along with things or reacted like indignantly, might thinking, well, okay, how would I respond if I was actually as the adult?
Yes. And you might not be able to do it in the moment. So you might not be able to do it in the heat of an argument or sort of conflictual situation. It's quite difficult. But you can do it afterwards, so to speak. You can step back. You can look at, well, how did I respond to you and why did I respond in this particular way? And you then can pick up this conversation with your partner, where both of you, once things have calmed down a little bit, might be able to step more into an adult-to-adult conversation and to kind of look at what happened just now, why did we respond in this way, and to kind of then find a way of resolving the issue in a more considered, rational way.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think just becoming more aware of this, becoming more aware of you're going into this parent mode or you're coming into the child mode, means that the next time you're having a discussion, because you have more awareness, it can help you have more flexibility. Yeah. That's one of the really powerful things with transactional analysis is the idea that we all have responsibility, we all have choice. And that choice really comes through that awareness. So once you have that awareness, once you develop more awareness, you develop more choice about how you respond in any situation, whether it's your relationships, whether it's work, or whether it's at play.
Yeah, absolutely. Great. I think that's a great way to end, isn't it?
Great, yeah. And and again, if you're interested in learning more about attachment styles, you could listen to one of our earlier podcasts or go to our website, therelationshipmaze.com, where we have more information. And we also have a very comprehensive program that we offer as well.
Yeah, so we look in our program, The Relationship Maze, we actually look at transactional analysis, some of the models. And we also kind of look at how it kind of combines with other different theories and different ways of looking at your relationship, different responses, communication styles, etc.
And thanks for listening today. And please, please subscribe and also share this podcast with anyone who you think might benefit from it. And above all, tune in to the next podcast.
Yeah, looking forward to seeing you next week.
Bye. I hope you enjoyed this week's podcast. If you'd like to find out more about creating great relationships, go to therelationshipmaze.com and I look forward to seeing you there. And remember to tune in to the next podcast.